All right, welcome to the first full-length episode of When She Speaks. I am ready to get this ball rolling. I actually recorded this episode about a year ago, around this time of year, and so I am so ready to get these out. As I was editing this first episode, I actually realized that I failed to properly introduce my guest in the midst of trying to figure out the technical side of how to record a podcast, which we're still trying to figure out. That's all right. So this conversation is with Christy Walls, who I actually met back in college through church / prison ministry. And so Christy is incredible. She is a fiery, fiery woman of God that I have the utmost respect for. And so, yeah, most of this is her testimony and then just a lot of good golden advice that she drops for us. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear this. This is Christy.
Because currently you're still in the same place in Cleveland, right, Tennessee?
Yes.
You have that same jail. Okay, so technically your role, I know your title, we've always said Captain Walls. So what are you doing, the same thing you were doing when I left?
Yes, I'm still the captain over corrections.
Okay.
I'm there 5 days a week, but I'm on call 24/7. So if anything happens, I'm either phone called in or I have to go there if it's like really major. I have to go. And right now people are desperate. Desperate to get out of jail. So they do crazy stuff.
Yeah. So is it always like this, to where around the holidays it gets harder?
Yeah, you see a lot of people. You make sure that they get a lot of time out so they're not depressed, being away from family. Make sure they get their phone time and stuff like that. We did cards from RTTN. Actually, I'm going to get them tomorrow take them on Christmas Day.
Okay, so you're still, so you're serving at RTTN too? Right?
Cleveland. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So RTTN is where I went to church when I was in Cleveland, Tennessee in college, and Christy also serves there. And so that's how we met. It was through the church, really. So I've just watched Captain Walls just from the first few times I went in. I was scared because I didn't know what to expect. And during that training, the things you and Lieutenant Sanders were saying, you guys were like, this is not for anybody. You really need to pray and make sure this is where the Lord is calling you, because of just the spiritual warfare that takes place there. And so you guys were talking about things you've seen and just like dark stuff that happens. But then you were also sharing really, really incredible testimonies. And so if you would just share a little bit, I guess, how you felt called there, maybe a little bit of your testimony of how you got into what you're doing today. So
I truly feel like the way I got involved was a complete setup by the Lord. I mean, me and Lieutenant Sanders, he was my lieutenant back in 2001 when I started. The Lord has since delivered us both from alcohol. So we both been alcohol free for 17 years. Like, we did not like each other at all. whenever we both came back, you know, and got our walk with the Lord, and we were both like in a relationship, it just kind of like, there wasn't a point. It's just like the Lord just kind of meshed it all together. Like we were going, doing jail ministry, which I had never done. And I had been there, but we really felt like the Lord was calling us to do jail ministry. And we just became able to start praying with officers and praying with inmates. Then we got, I started going to RTTN probably about 7-8 years ago. I invited Sanders to Ruach. He came to Ruach and left.
That's the big conference.
We've been serving together, I would say, now for about probably 7 years. 7 years, because I became a senior lieutenant when I was 2016. I would tell you that I've been in church all my life. I was raised in church. I remember when I got saved when I was a young girl. I remember getting baptized, going in the lake. They pinned your dresses so that when they dunked you, you know, it didn't come open. I just remember all that. I probably would say I was like around 8 years old.
Okay.
But during my life, growing up, I struggled with believing a lie of the enemy that I was not lovable. It was a huge thing. I had great family. I just did not feel loved. And that led me to making some really bad decisions that gave me consequences. And through that, I just got away from my walk with the Lord. I turned to alcohol, to numb. I didn't want to feel anything. I just wanted to not feel, to be numb. Rather than turning to the Lord, I turned to a temporary solution. So I went to college and played ball, and it just got worse. And came back home, and yeah, I played ball
I
until I
didn't
was
know
in
you were a
college.
baller. I
Yep,
didn't know that.
played basketball all
Oh
through
my gosh.
junior high and high school. We were number two in the state my senior year. I played center, as short as I am, so I was really mean, just to be honest. Really mean and aggressive. You can ask anybody.
Got the job
My
done.
dad would have this whistle, and when he would whistle it, I'd look up at him and he'd be like, and I'd know, okay, Christy, it's on. We need to be.
No, was your dad the coach? Was he your
No, he would be
coach?
up in the stands and just whistle this one whistle, and I knew to
Oh,
look
he'd
at
whistle with
him.
his mouth.
He'd go, yeah, I can't even do
So
it.
he was
But
your coach, though, from the
yeah,
stands.
him and my mom never missed a game of high school or college. They traveled
Oh, that's
everywhere we
awesome.
went. Yes, I was very fortunate in
Wow.
that. But so
That's
I came
awesome.
home from college, got married. My first marriage lasted 3 years. I got my two daughters out of them. Still was struggling. Came home, got back in church. I could tell you it was like, I would love to tell you it'd be like just one of those suddenly moments where I was just like, it was not. I was whoo, determined. And I'm like a three red flagger. Even when the Lord tells me something, I used to question him 3 times, but now, I've learned not to. But I did not understand what it was like to be loved. And the decisions that I'd made had led me to promiscuity and alcohol. So every place that I'd been, I was leaving part of me and I was taking on part of people. And I'm not saying that I was like that. I was in relationships. I wasn't like just out. I was in relationships that were not healthy for me, were not healthy at all. And a lot of young adults start to feel that physical things mean love,
Oh
and it
yeah,
truly
100%.
does not.
100%.
Truly does not. You can love someone and not be intimate with someone. You can have a soul tie to someone and it be an emotional soul tie and not a
Oh my gosh,
physical soul tie.
I have just been learning about soul ties and it's been blowing my mind because a lot of people think it's just sexual stuff that
Well,
creates
I'm
those
very
bonds.
thankful that you're learning about them now because I was sitting in a Women of Fire conference when I heard about them. I'll never
Really?
forget. I was just like, what did she say? So in that service, so back to that. So then I came back. I got back into church. I met my husband. We got married in 2005. We were very involved at our Baptist church. We'd been there 14 years. We were helping with youth, doing a praise team. Me and him both sung on the praise team. And the Lord just started pouring into me so much that we just really felt like it was time for us to leave. We felt like it was time for us to move on. Another podcast, another day, we'll talk about before we left, me and Carl walked through a very public affair.
Oh,
And
wow.
wrecked, yeah, it was in 2015. And
Wow.
the Lord has just completely redeemed our marriage and in such a way that it's crazy. Like, it's just, that's the story of Hosea and Gomer. I'm telling you, that's my favorite book in the Bible because
I have got to hear this.
every time that we go back out into the world and we get covered in sin, it's just like when it says that her husband went looking for her and saw her on the slave table. He didn't recognize her, but yet he bought her back. That's how the Lord is with us. Every time that we go out of his will and we get covered in sin, sometimes he does not recognize the physical of us, but by spirit he knows us. And he always, always calls us back. There's never a time that he says, no, just leave her there. Just leave her there and let her sit in it. No, he always lovingly comes.
That's so
But
good.
so we walked through this. I'll tell you one short story. When that happened, I was wrecked. And everything that I had felt growing up came back. I remember laying in bed and the enemy got right, a whisper, and he said, I told you were unlovable. I tricked you. All this time, you thought you were lovable and you're not. And I just said, shut up in the name of Jesus. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to believe you anymore. And so I got down on the floor of the living room. The house was dark. He was gone. The house was dark. Our girls didn't know. Nobody knew really. The Lord had told me for 3 months, and I'd been saying things to my husband that had been flipping him out apparently. But I got down the floor and I was really petty. I was like, now you got to realize this is 2015. So from 2015 to 2023, the Lord has like just like super, super fast just changed our lives. So I was in the floor and I said, Lord, you know, I just want to know what you want. All my family's telling me to do this, to do that. I refuse to live in darkness with him. I refuse to keep this a secret. I'm not going to. But I want you to tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I begin to tell him everything. Like, he's lied to me. He's cheated on me. He's brought her into the sanctuary of my church. I mean, I was petty. I named everything. There was a whole list. Like, I was, and I said, but you tell me what you want me to do. And I will tell you, it was silence in my house because I'd never heard the audible voice of the Lord before. And I heard it that day. And his words ring so true to me. I heard him say, and you've done all those things to me, Christy, but yet I still love you. Get up and love your husband. And there was no questions, Anna. I got up and my mind was made. I was going to be obedient. Whether Carl, whether the Lord told Carl the same thing, it wasn't a matter. It was about my relationship, my obedience with Christ. So I got up and I never turned away. And it was, there was some ramifications of him calling that off. We went through some investigations and I walked through it with him. And let me tell you, we prayed about everything. We prayed about where we were going to eat. We prayed about, it was like us and the Lord, like it should be. He's just totally reconciled our marriage and done some amazing things. And it's just wonderful. People used to say, do you want to go back to how it was? And we're like, no, no, we don't. What we've been through, we won't be able to go back. This, you know, and this testimony has not even been for us. It's been for other people. My daughter gave her testimony in the Philippines years ago to a woman who's was telling her that her husband had committed adultery. And Madison, by our journey, got to witness to that woman. So it's not even about us. It's about that one somewhere, you
That's
know?
So true. That's so true.
So then we came back to, we came to RTT and he told us to leave, told me to leave first. I waited on my husband. He said, it's time. We left, we came to RTTN and our minds got blown. Like everything that just fell into place. I mean, we were in RTT, everything fell into place in RTT in Chattanooga. I remember just being like, have I ever been saved? I mean, you know, you're thinking these things when you hear that. I'm like, I've listened to this Bible story all my life and I did not know what he's preaching.
Just because you were so in awe, like not because.
Just because I was so captivated.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing. And that was my experience too. Cause I grew up, I love my church. My family still goes to a Baptist church here in town in Southwest Georgia. And I love it and they might always be there. But when I started going to Redemption to the Nations, it blew my mind too. But I felt the same way when I got to RTTN. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Lee, where I went to school, Lee University. Yeah.
Yeah. Every day on the way home, we would talk about everything because I would be like, did you know that? I mean, did you know that about that story? Yes. I mean, you know, but what it was is that I had been taught all the time about the Holy Spirit. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives inside of you.
Yeah.
I cannot really honestly tell you that I knew what that meant. Like the authority, the power, the comfort. And I learned that in 2015 because I don't remember anything. It's just like he carried us through that. And so I was completely blown away. We went to Connect Track and I was pretty sure I was going to sing in the choir because that's all I'd ever done. And we're sitting there and I was like, I'm going to go talk to Pastor Tobin. It's going to be great, you know. And I heard the Holy Spirit and he said, no. He said, I'm calling you to prayer. And I was like, what? Okay. What? You know, I was like, what? Yeah. What do you mean? Well, then we, you know, we got involved in RTTN. A couple years later, I got an invitation to be on the altar team. And I was like, okay.
You got an invitation.
Became on the altar team. This is years later. But where the Lord trained me for prayer was in the jail. It's the first time I ever saw a demon cast out was in a jail, in a pod of a jail. First time that I had seen people like visually healed from addiction their bodies healed. I'd seen a lady that had confirmed diseases that went back to the doctor. They were incurable, and they told her, you don't have them anymore.
Wow.
So the jail was my training ground, and the jail was my church, because there's such a freedom in a jail that you really sometimes don't feel in a church. Because they're just exactly what they are and who they are. In church, there's a lot of times where we have been like made to feel, and I'm not talking about RTTN, I'm talking about the church as a general, where we're supposed to act like we have it all together. Mm-hmm. You know, I know when the older generations were taught just to not talk about things.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I feel like that's been broken a little bit though. I feel like slowly but surely there's been a shift in that.
I think it's different generations. Like when I look at my grandparents and my parents and then me, it's like, that's when it started breaking. But like with your generation, it's all out there. Yeah. I mean,
maybe
it's
too
just
much.
All out there. Yeah. Like it is all out either there. Overwhelmingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the point to where your generation, I feel like it's overwhelmed. Like I'm feeling all this stuff. I'm walking through all this stuff and they want all the answers. A suddenly answer. But sometimes it doesn't
want
come in suddenly. Yeah, it's 100%. It's the process, just like with Esther, the process. Mm-hmm. The Lord has to sit you through a processing period and you will be crushed before your breakthrough. You'll be crushed. It's
People
the truth.
Don't like
thing.
To hear that.
No, and I didn't either. But you know what? Thinking back, a Sunday before all this happened with me and Carl, I was singing. And I gave a testimony and I said, the Lord has said he's tired of fake. He is about to lay us bare before him. And I did not even know I was talking about me. Not that I was fake, but that he was going to, that he had been trying to allow me to strip myself of things that I thought were not a big deal. But now he was going to strip me of those.
Yeah.
Strip me of those insecurities. Like, strip me of those old bondages. Strip me of those soul ties, strip me of the lie that I grew up believing that physical touch was love, intimacy was love, when it's not about it at all.
Yeah.
So that's really been the process. So back to jail, that's when I got into jail ministry and praying. And we got with Pastor Gary, started getting RTTN to come in there, do revivals. But that wasn't the only time we did jail ministry. I do jail ministry every day, all day long.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about, the Holy, like we told you, you know, you better be prayed up. You know, if you're going just to have a picture made or have your name saying that you went to jail ministry, you're doing it.
Yeah.
But you know what, Anna, we need to be that from the time we get up to the time we go to bed.
We
need to get up and put our feet on the floor and say, Lord, I want you to lead me. Give me discernment. Because if I walk into Walmart and there's a lady that he needs me to minister to, I need to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard somebody say that once. They said before they get out of bed in the morning, before their feet hit the ground, they're saying, Lord, they kind of pretend like their bed is the altar. And they say, my body's a living sacrifice before they even get out of the bed. And they're like, whatever you want to do today through me. And then they, you know, they start their day, but that's the mentality. So I don't do that every morning.
And if we all said we did, we wouldn't be telling the truth.
But
he knows us inward and outwardly, but he loves to hear our voice. He loves to hear us tell us what he already knows. He can know everything and not even have us have to speak. But he gave us a voice for a reason.
Yeah.
And so that all led to jail ministry. That all led to the prayer team that I'm on, which anybody can pray. Anybody can pray.
Yeah.
Anybody can have discernment, and anybody can walk in the authority that the Lord's given them.
They
just got to want it. So one of the ways that I do that is I listen only to worship music. I don't
really
like any I don't like any music, but I'm going to be honest with you. When the Lord took me and delivered me from alcohol, it was a suddenly thing. And I had to learn what triggers were. And booty music, you know, you only list the words, but you know what I'm talking about? Like the music that gets you moving. Well, that music would want me to dance, and that dance would want me to go to a bar, and then I would close it down. So I was like, no. And that's not everybody. I do definitely think that according to our calling and our purpose, there are different things that we cannot entertain. And I think they're different for everybody. They're different for everybody.
So you can't judge somebody else. That's a big
No,
thing
and
in
I
the church
don't.
too.
I mean,
People, the Lord will
people,
call people to make certain sacrifices.
you know, there's a joke about this one person that I always laugh when my daughter or somebody puts her on in the car, and I'm like, hey, you're not listening to her in my car. You know, and she's like, okay, mom, but I want people to be real with me. I don't try to push my convictions on somebody else, and I don't want anybody pushing theirs on me, to be honest. But yeah, so that was a trigger for me. So I just realized that and dove in, and I'm very particular about the worship music I listen to.
Well, I mean, even with music, my dad has always told us this growing up, and all me and my five siblings, we'd all be like, oh my gosh. Because I kind of thought it was legalistic at first. And so all of us, I was like, you can't say we can't let. And anyways, I did not realize the power behind music. And still today, like, I listen to stuff and sometimes get convicted, and I'm like, okay, this is not filling up my spirit. And I don't play, I listen to all kinds of stuff, so I don't just play worship all the time. But
But see,
I
you know
mean,
the
Luke.
difference. You know when you feel that unction,
Yeah. Oh,
this is
yeah.
not
And it's
good for
stuff.
me.
And if worship, I mean, if praise, one of my friends said this to me the other day. She said, if praise brings in and worship brings in the spirit of God, she was like, what kind of spirit do you think all these other kinds of music is bringing in? Because it's not nothing. And it's not that, it's you're getting possessed, or it's nothing to that extent,
No,
but it's
no, no,
just
no.
it does affect your spirit the more you're allowing that into your gates. And so I have to make sure like the balance is there. But I know a lot of people who've just completely nixed in when they're by themselves. It's worship because that's what they need to be filling their spirit with. It's like
Saying
the
that, I'm not telling you all worship music is good. I'm not telling you that all things that are said to be worship are. But like when I'm with my family, we like have dance parties, like in the car driving home from RTT in Chattanooga. We used to put on music and sing all the songs like of the 80s and 90s. I mean, I'm still fun,
Oh, yeah, the good
but
stuff.
there's certain music that is associated with things that the Lord, places that the Lord brought me out of that I can't ponder on them, because
Dabble
once I
in,
ponder on them, yeah, like my eye gates, my ear gates are huge. Like I've not watched normal television since 2020. It's either been something I've chosen to watch, you know, or things. Or if I do go to watch something, like let's say I want to watch a movie, if I get so far into it and I'm just like, no, I can't watch that. It just, I have to, that's just for me though, because I was, there was places that maybe some people haven't been, but everybody's things are different. And I think that you have to be sensitive to listen to the Holy Spirit when he says that some place that I brought you out of, that I don't even need you to entertain it for one moment. And I think that we give the enemy power over us by our voice, because we speak what he needs to know affects us. He's not like the
And
Lord.
he can
He
hear
doesn't.
words. He can't read
Yes,
your mind, but he can
absolutely.
hear what you speak.
And so we don't even speak them. Like if I have something that I know that is effect, I will either write them out or text it to my husband and be like, yeah, I'm not doing
See,
this.
that's like a little secret. It shouldn't be a secret. It's like a little tool that you can use, because like people, I've been learning this too within, I'd say, the past 2 years, is how much power your words have, and that the enemy
They
can
are.
hear things that you speak. And so that's why, I mean, this all it's a whole nother conversation with praying in tongues. I personally have never prayed in tongues before, but I've learned that that's a really cool tool that people use to talk to the Lord, because the enemy can't understand tongues. And so
No.
anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
But
speaking in
so
tongues is definitely a whole nother conversation. I think about like your generation. If I would have been your age and knew what I know now, or into what I knew, oh, the things I probably could have done. I know that one of the things, the questions that you had asked me, I was going to talk about real quick.
Go for it. Go for it.
You said, looking back in your life, what are some ways the Lord equipped you? And I've told you that it was all through the jail. He has equipped me
Yeah.
through jail,
Yeah.
and he's put me with godly mentors that have poured into me. I have a spiritual mother. I mean, he has just surrounded me with people. We have to realize that we need seasoned people and we need young people. They talk
Yes.
about it, synergy, all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes.
me and Carl are always around
Synergy.
people that are either like in the young adult age, but we're also around people that are older than us, people that are the same age as us.
Yes, that's
You
so
know,
good.
you have to have that because
Yeah.
it can't come together. What they know
Right, right.
can't be told to the wisdom, can't, the mantles cannot be
Right.
passed down.
Yes, yeah. What's there's a verse about I don't even know where it's at, but I heard it the other day. Oh, I heard it on a podcast. It was John Bevere, and it was the guy was talking about how the old men dream dreams and the young men have visions. And so that's not to say it can't be vice versa. It was a rabbi that was interpreting it. He said, I don't know if God was saying that old men just sleep a lot, and so that's why. But
Right.
a lot of the things that they only dreamt of, the younger generation will come to take action and make those visions come to life. And so,
Yes.
but in order for that to happen, they have to be working together.
Yes.
And yeah, synergy.
Well, what if you had it? What if an older person had a dream 20 years ago, and the interpretation or the prophetic word that came from that dream was sitting inside of someone that is in a younger generation?
Yeah.
So I pretty much told you about that. The next thing is, how do I fill my cup?
Yes. Okay, especially with what you do, especially being a
Woo.
woman in the in your workspace, how do you, and like you said, 24/7, every day you walk into work and it's ministry and it's hard stuff. I know. Like
Yeah, and if
I
I
walked in
told
there
you
with you
that
a
I
couple
was like
times. I
walking
can't.
with Jesus every morning into there and acted like Jesus all the time, it would not be true. I'm very transparent on that. I'm very
Yes, of
transparent on
course.
that. There are days that I get rushed, I get frustrated, and I go in and I speak with a fleshly mouth. And I'm so convicted sometimes. Like it either hits me then or when I'm at home. And my husband says that I have the biggest heart and I'm always so willing to forgive. But that's, I cannot have that in me. I cannot have that in me. And so the biggest way that I get poured into is I do devotions. I read my Bible. I talk to other people that are mentors to me. I pray, Lord, if we could all pray as much as we should, we would be living a holy life, is what I'm telling you. Prayer and reading your Bible are the two hardest things. These are two hardest things because
It's true.
this right here, if you're reading your Bible, 14 people are going to text you and you're going to look. And if you're praying, your phone's going to ring and you're going to be like, oh, maybe that's something I need to deal with.
That's what that do not disturb button's for.
Right. So I do that. I sit in alone time and just listen to worship music, like specific worship music that I know is truly about who he is.
Who do you listen to? I'm
Oh my
curious.
gosh. I listen to LC Worship. I
I'll see
listen
worship.
to, gosh, let me think. Tauren Wells, Take It All Back. Like I will blare that in my car and just sing it and point and everybody gets tired of my music. And I listen to Elevation Worship, some of Elevation Work, Circuit Rider music. My one favorite song used to be Crowns and Thorns by KB. It's like a rap song that starts out with Spirit, lead me. And then it just goes in really hard and you just want to be like, woo, woo, woo. So,
That's you.
yeah, but a lot of things to me are, there's different music for different times, but there are some things that I start to listen to, like artists, and then there are some songs that I'm like, is that really edifying the Lord or is it edifying self? Because I feel like we live in a time right now when people want a microphone and a platform so bad that they cannot be content on the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, that's
They
so
can't.
true.
They
That's so
can't.
true. That's
I've
scary.
met older, my age and your age, to where they just want to create an atmosphere to where they can be the limelight, where we have to stay hidden. We have to stay hidden. I mean,
Yeah,
people
that's
don't
so
like
good.
that. We have to stay hidden, especially in Cleveland, I will tell you. There are such old foundations laid here. And there is water that's running in this city. And the Lord is going to do mighty things. He has done mighty things in this city. But he's got another level. And he's going to rip the lid off this city.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he truly is. I'm so
that
excited
doesn't happen.
About what to see.
That doesn't happen unless there's people who are rooted there. And I know for literally this is true for me and a lot of my generation that we want to get up and go and run and be moving. And we don't like committing long-term to things a lot of the time because we're like, what if something better comes along? Totally guilty of it right here. But like that doesn't, what I respect so much is people who are able to lock in. Cause the Lord, I mean, everyone's called to do different things.
We're called to do different things.
Yes. But
I'm
like,
not called to run physically.
But you, but something I admire so much about you in the ministry there in Cleveland is that you guys have locked in and you know, like, you know that you're called there. And that's why I loved coming on, was it Thursdays or Fridays we went?
Fridays. It was Fridays.
Fridays. Yes, so Friday nights, I could tell because you'd always have new testimonies and that's your job. So that's where you're planted now. But I just thought it was so cool to hear how much you and the team that was there believed in just the city of Cleveland. And I have a hard time because just I'm 23. So I'm, you know, have lived in Southwest Georgia at home and then in, you know, Cleveland for college. And now I'm in Nashville. But it's seeing people have a heart that burns for the city they're in. I'm like, wow, I don't know if I've ever really burned for my city. And really had a heart for the people that I'm just around.
I didn't know if I was going to be honest, Anna. We were in Chattanooga for so long. When I came back, I was this is a new ground, you know, and the Lord said, well, you've been somewhere being trained and now it's time for you to plow. You went somewhere where it's already been plowed and dug and now you're starting to be the plower.
Huh, that's really good.
Yeah, and he gave it to me. In a vision, we were driving through Cleveland and I saw two elder gentlemen and they were kind of bent over in their garden.
I remember you saying, I remember you saying this. Yeah.
He said the elder generation is tired and they're looking for the younger generation to come to harvest and to take up their mantles. So if we don't live in expectation, if we become stagnant, we're no longer productive. We're no longer productive.
If
we stay content, we should never be content.
Right.
Because, you know, Pastor Kevin has said about the angels in heaven, you know, we talk about how they go holy, 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 and they continue to like go around in circles.
Yeah,
and I
they
thought
never
about
stop.
It.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? How do they do that forever and ever and ever? And then Pastor Kevin said, he said, well, every time they turn, they see a new dimension of him.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So I was like thinking,
that's
God
crazy.
The Father was like in this one, like this one thing, probably most of my life, like until it unlocked. And I realized I'm never going to even see all that he is. Never going to see all that he is. One of the questions was, how do I, a woman in the workplace that I am, there are some amazing women in law enforcement. I've always been in corrections. That's my calling. I love it. I just got my 15-year plaque. This year.
Congrats.
This year.
15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like sometimes five.
That's amazing.
Sometimes it feels like 30.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah. There are different spirits I would say that you deal with in a correction setting. I will tell you that I've always honored those that are over me. I feel like you have to walk in honor and you have to walk in, you have to walk in authority all the time. I feel like that, there are older generations to where I'm talking in the church and in workforces where women aren't seen the same. But to tell you I think that's changed over the years. I do because I've worked for people that haven't, I don't feel that way now. I feel like that I have a voice that matters. I just really feel like that I'm respected as that. And I'm honored as that. I feel like that if you're not ever honored or respected as that, then it probably would be hard for you.
That took you time though.
Yeah.
That took time. Yeah.
I've done a lot. I work with a lot of people that are just amazing. I mean, I would be nothing without the team of people I work for. I'm a reflection of them. They're a reflection of me. Most definitely. But the last thing that you said was, if I had some y'all's full, the next generation's full attention, what would I say?
What would you tell them?
I would probably talk to two different groups. The first would be the generation as a full, as a whole. And I would say, be led by the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. If it's not in the Bible, it's not true. I don't care if it's a professor or if it's a someone that's leading a group or even if it's in your workplace. If someone tells you something and it's not in the Word of God, it is not true.
And it can't be backed up.
Truth stands alone. You don't even have to, you don't have to defend it. Truth stands on its own. And I feel like if you don't know the Word, you can't know if it is the Word. So you have to study the Word of God, and it has to be in your heart, because there may come a day when we can't
have
our
so
Bibles. People think that we live in this place to where we're going to have everything. But you know what? There may be a day when we have underground churches and we don't have a Bible.
Yeah, we might see that sooner than we think, too.
Yes, you don't know. You don't know what we're walking into, but He's given us this to prepare us. And the second thing I would tell the generation as a whole is, I would really like to apologize to that generation. I feel like that pulpits have been watered down. I feel like and I'm not talking about Cleveland. I'm talking about in general. I feel like the Word of God has been watered down to make everybody feel comfortable within a church. And I feel like that through that, there have been things that have been able to creep in.
Absolutely.
You know, a spirit of religion, spirit of perverseness, spirit of homosexuality. You know, all those things are sins. They're no different from me gossiping and lying to you every single day. So it's not the person. It's a sin. And you have to confront those things in love. But you have to also confront them in truth.
Truth. Come on. That's so good.
But if you're watering it down, where's the power in the Word of God?
Right.
If you have something that's water and you just keep adding water, it's never going to boil. So there has to be, you're taking away the truth of God's Word and the power by doing that. So right now we have a generation that is sitting in these identity crises. They don't know who they are in Christ. So everybody that's pulling on them, that's what they're becoming.
Well, it's because you can have your own truth.
It's
everyone has their own truth.
You can be
which means there is no real truth if you if you can just make it up.
You cannot follow what the world is doing. Cancel culture is so big. And it is like, I could be canceled today. I don't even know what I could cancel, but Lord, they could cancel me. I don't really care. But one thing they can never take is your voice. They can never take your voice. But that's what it is. I would want the generation to know who they are. I mean, the Bible clearly states that you are son and daughter of the Most High King. He calls you beloved. He sings and dances over you every day. Let me tell you, there's no man or woman that's ever going to sing and dance over me every day. No, there's
it's
not.
It's true.
It's him. He calls me his beloved. And, you know, it took me a long time to realize that I was a daughter in Christ. I am an heir to the King. I'm royalty. I'm a royal descendant. That's an old song they used to sing. I am a royal descendant to the King. But until we know it and believe it in our hearts, we won't walk in it. And if we don't protect our ear gates and our eye gates and everything that's
so
being pushed in us, if the voice of the Lord is not louder than anything else, we will be in a place of confusion and chaos.
That's so good. It's crazy because I've grown up in a Christian home, and I've known the Lord almost my entire life, and I still am and will always be learning what it means to be a daughter and to walk in authority and to see myself how the Lord sees me. And that's a prayer I have to pray often, because when you know who you are, you walk in authority. And so I've been realizing, I'm like, I don't have time to sit here and be this scared little person who doesn't really know who I am. But just looking at the circumstances we're living in, I don't have time to cower and to waste time not knowing who I am and make my whole life just to be about me and figuring out who am I, who am I.
What am
When
I going to
you,
do for my life? What am I? How am I going to
yes,
make
what am I going to
money? How am
become?
I going to,
It's just when you are able to receive that your identity has already been spoken over you. I don't have to create it myself. It's all in me already, and it's who I become when I'm walking under, the headship of my father. And then it's right there. It's not like this lifelong journey of finding who I am. It's you become because you already
You
have that
become,
identity. Yes,
right.
and you're already becoming who the Lord has already made you to be. So I think we waste, I know we waste, I waste so much time
Well, I
being
wasted
like,
years, decades.
yeah,
I mean,
isn't that
I
crazy?
truly believe what the word says is that everything that we needed was put inside of us before we were ever created in our mother's womb. One thing
Wow.
that I know that the Lord showed me is that there's a generation that is really tired and weary, and they're frustrated, they're depressed, they're oppressed. They're just walking around not knowing who they are or what they're supposed to be doing. And the Lord showed me one day, and he said, the reason, now I'm telling you this, men and women wise, so I'm not meaning physically when I say it. He said, the reason that they are so tired and miserable and are so don't know what to do is because they have been pregnant for too long, pregnant in the spirit. He said, I had placed something inside of them for them to birth out. So we all have things inside of us that that the Lord is going to birth out of us. But just like with a physical birth, there's 9 months of process, and then labor is intense. It's intense. And he even showed me through the things of labor in the spirit, which I won't go into, but there is a labor time where you will go through some heavy things before that thing is birthed out of you. And it could be a ministry, it could be a calling, it can be anything. It's a purpose that's in you that's waiting. It's just waiting. And if a woman goes over 9 months, if you've ever seen them, they're miserable. Miserable. You know, that's how we get in the spirit because we know, our spirit man knows there's something inside here that you need to be using. But our physical is
That's so
like,
good.
I don't even, what do you mean? I don't even know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I've done this, I've done that. There's no way, but it's still here. And it's like, so we're fighting with our spirit man.
Well, that's what
And
I think is
so,
so beautiful about the generations, because I know that there have been things inside me that I have needed so badly for someone older and more seasoned to look at me and say, I see this, and it just give me confirmation almost to like run
right.
with things. And I'm like, okay. And it's that team, that teamwork. And
That's
I
you have to
mean,
have it. There's been younger people that have prophesied over me. There's been older
It
people
going
that have
both ways.
prophesied over me. And what they do is they give you, what's the word? Confidence. And they empower you through the word of God. I mean, the Lord is giving them a word to give to you. So if you're sitting in a place and you've been sitting in a hallway waiting for a door to open, that's like one of the craziest places to be. You're supposed to praise him in the hallway, I know, but sometimes it's hard and you're just sitting and waiting. And then somebody comes over to you and says, the Lord says that he's giving you a fresh oil to open the door that you've been waiting on. Then you're like,
You're ready
okay,
to go.
I'm still moving. I'm still moving. So
But
I
the
really feel
crazy
like
thing
that is.
is having the discernment, because I've heard so many people say that they've had more people speak over them that they felt like it returned void, or it wasn't something from the Lord. And so being able, I know that is also a whole nother conversation, but being able to have that confirmation from the Lord and that person speaking to you, because that's another thing people kind of, I don't know, can feel watered
It's
down, is because a lot of people will run up to other
true.
people and say, oh, I have a word, and
Well,
then
you
it's like
always have
some,
to test the word. You always have to test the word.
And the Lord says that. He said you can put it to test
That's what
and
it
like write it
says.
down,
Yes.
yes, and put it
Yes.
to
You have to
test.
test it.
So I've had
Yeah, I'm
people speak
very
over me so many times, and it's journal it, and then it's like take it with a grain of salt, and
That's
sometimes
me
it'll be an
right
open
now.
door and you'll feel it, and you're
And
like,
it could be
okay,
a
and you
word
know to
for a
run.
season that's going to come in like 5 years. But my thing is, I'm very particular about who I let lay hands on me because I do believe in transference. Every time we go into any ministry, I'm telling you, sometimes when I leave church, I'll pray a detachment prayer on the way out to my car. I mean, I'll be like, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. I mean, anything I was familiar with, don't let it be familiar to me anymore. Do not give it a foothold, because if we're so hurried in life that we don't, we just walk out, we will carry it. We will carry
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I'm sure in the workspace that you're in, you've learned that to a whole new level.
Oh yeah.
Transference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's something my grandma would talk like that. And it always sounded so whack to me.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, within like in 2023 is when this stuff has become so real to me. And it's like, you can walk around with these things, and that this is not going to say you should live in fear constantly, but you can walk around with these things that just attach. They attach to your spirit and they're oppressing. And you're not possessed, but you can be oppressed by these things and not even realize
same, that's
it.
The same. That's a whole definition right there of soul ties.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so I have spoke and broken every soul tie. Name-wise.
Yeah, me too. Literally
emotional.
Last
yes. I've done that.
Oh my gosh.
I've renounced any word that I've come into agreement with. Like if you ever say, I'm not going to be like this person, or I'm never going to do this again. You literally are giving the enemy the authority to build a wall, so you never go past that wall.
Yeah,
and I was blown away by Jennifer LeClaire when she said that. She was like, how many people have you ever said this, stand up? And by the end, I was like, I should just stood up the whole entire time. Well, then we renounced it, you know, because our words have power.
That's so powerful. That's so
but
powerful.
The last generation and the last thing I was going to talk about was to women. Growing up in a Baptist church, there were people that didn't believe that women should do certain things. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God clearly states. It says sons and daughters will prophesy. It says, and the first evangelist truly was the woman at the well. So I'm not a man or woman thing. I'm not a man or woman thing saying that one's superior. What I'm saying is that women right now, the daughters and doors, 2024, women have a voice that will pierce an atmosphere. There's a roar inside of us that the Lord is calling us to do. And so what I saw the Lord show me was he was literally going to be ripping the muzzle off of daughters. He's going to be ripping the muzzle off. I really feel like 2020 was a spiritual thing when they put us in masks. It was to silence our voice. It was to silence our voice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was a prophetic thing for me, because when we were at Women Fire this year, I literally saw him. I could look and there was women, and I just saw the hand of God ripping muzzles off their mouths, off of their homes. You know, when women start praying in authority, women start speaking a word, women will testify. We can give declarations. We can prophesy things.
Yeah.
And I feel like that if we read the Word of God, rather than listening to word of man, we would know the truth of what he says about us as a daughter. But for a long time, I never did. I never did. My daughters would say they never did, you know, until they got in the Word of God and heard what he said about them. You would
do
think
you have
that there
any,
are limitations.
Do you have any chat, like off the top of your head, specific scriptures that you went to that spoke over your identity?
Hold on one
second. In general or as a woman?
Hold on,
I know I'm really putting you to the test right here.
No.
This is what I'm the worst at, is references.
That's fine
and...
with me. I could look through, but everything's like underlined in my Bible.
I know there's a chapter in Ephesians somewhere that speaks to
it
identity.
Is in there is Ephesians 2:10. Yeah. But also it says that a godly woman is led by the Holy Spirit. Through the work of a Holy Spirit, a godly woman bears the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's in Galatians. But also it talks about, I'm trying to think of the scripture where it says sons and daughters will prophesy. Pastor Kevin says it all the time.
Google it.
It says right here, as a woman of God, it's important to learn to measure myself by God's standards and not my own. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for to do. So this scripture tells us that we're God's handiwork.
Oh, here. It's in Acts 2:17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah. So I'm not getting into a debate about pastors or deacons or any, I'm saying that as a daughter of the Most High King, if you have a relationship with Christ, you have a voice. You have a voice. And I feel like the man is the head of the household. I feel like I don't have, I'm not, I'm just trying to mute any things that people would have said to me. Well, see, I want us all to be fireballs. I want us all to
Absolutely.
walk in the identity that Lord has given us. I mean, He has given us identity as a woman. There are certain things women can do, and there are certain things men can do, just like in the physical, as in the spirit. A woman can give birth, a man can't. I'm
A
sorry to
man
tell you, a
can't.
man cannot
He
give
cannot give
birth.
birth.
I break that off right now in the
I'll
name
say
of Jesus. Yeah, he
it.
cannot give birth. But there are certain things, and just like there's certain things in the kingdom that both are called and they're called separately to do. And I really am going to encourage women, daughters, to get in the Word of God and see what those things are
See for yourself,
and grasp hold of them, grasp hold on and run with them, because we
And
are
ask the
living in the
Lord for
last
his
days.
interpretation. Like that's another big thing is praying that you would see how it was meant to be read, especially in our
Absolutely.
day and age.
In anything that you read, you can read the same scripture 10 times and it'll give you a different, there's a different meaning from the Lord. But you need
Context is
to
huge.
really be in a secret place to where He can pour into you and download what He has for you individually, what He has for you corporately. You know, you should be, I mean, single women, I'm just going to tell you right now. To me, being a single woman would be hard because you're pulled in so many different ways. But I'm telling you, if you chase after Jesus, you're going to run into some man that's chasing after him. You're going to hit him. You're going to hit him. So there's no going out to search these places to, you know, where can I meet somebody? That'll just lead you somewhere in bondage, truly.
Or
But
people
yeah,
talk
you
about
need to
that
be chasing him.
triangle. They say when you're running straight and he's running straight, you'll meet.
You'll meet. And you know what? There are certain things that you can do in the kingdom when you're single that you can't do when you're married.
Exactly. See, I thought you were about to say at first to the single women, I thought you were about to say, oh, I wish, not I wish, but back in your single days, some people
Oh,
love
yeah.
it. Some people have a
Well,
hard time, a harder time.
I
Go
read
ahead,
a
go
book
ahead.
called Lady in Waiting when I was single. I was single for 7 years. I was a single mom for 7 years.
Oh,
It's
wow. You were a
hard.
single
It's
mom for
hard.
7 years. Yeah,
It's
I
very
believe it.
hard. Oh yeah, it's very hard because you have people that come to church and tell you they've been going to church all their life, and they come in with a new Bible that's out of the box and you can smell it. You know, just so that you'll go out on a date with them. I'm just being honest. They'll, you know what I'm saying? They'll say, "Oh yeah, I've been to church with you. I go to church." And then they bring in their Bible and you open it,
It's way too crispy.
it's like, And I'm like, okay. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you have to be led by the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit to even go outside of our home, in our homes. Most fights between married couples happen on the way to church.
All right. Oh my gosh.
Or
That's
getting all
so
the
real.
kids ready at home. It's like, And then you
Well,
get in there and
even
you're like, "Oh Lord, I love you," you know.
And that's why a lot of people don't even want to come because they know that. They know that. And it comes out sooner or later. You can only mask it for so long. So
Well,
I don't know.
they think we're hypocrites. That's it. They think you're hypocrites.
And we are. Every single one of us.
We're all
We are.
hypocrites. But, you know,
We shouldn't be
Pastor
hiding
Kevin
it.
said something one time to me that I could use in defense to that. At church, he said, "Would I rather go to church with a hypocrite or would I rather go to hell?"
Oh man, that's
It was
direct.
something along that lines. I can't remember it, but it was like, either way. Either way, I
It's
mean,
true.
that's all it's about. It's not even about someone else. It's about your own. And forgive me, Pastor Kevin, if I tore that up because I don't remember it specifically. But it's all about our personal relationship with Christ. It's not about my husband's relationship, my daughters, my parents, my family. It's about me. It's about me.
And
It's
that's
about yours.
and that's the cool thing about God's grace because he's not asking us to clean it all up before we come. And so a lot of people they don't want to come because of people's lives outside of the church, and not everything is what's the word? Not everything is acceptable. I'm not saying anything goes, but it's cool because like I know I'm one of six kids, and so my mom getting us to church when we were young, getting us all ready. I just remember a lot of the times it was just by the time we all got to church, everybody was silent in the car. And it wasn't her fault. It was so stressful for a season. And then we get there. So for a long time, we would have to like shake it off and she'd be like, all right, let's pray, guys, before we go in, because it would just be that was life for us for a season. Just because it was hard. It was hard on her and we were all kids.
It's very hard.
So yeah, and so I know that's a real thing, but that the beauty of what you've been saying is I know I've heard that a lot, just be led by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And that's something I will forever be learning how to do. But I think it's so true. I'm just realizing so many of the women that I have met that I want to have come on here and talk, I've watched them literally do exactly that, be led by the Spirit, because they are doing things and they're able. I've seen moms have like the most crazy patience with their kids when I'm watching, and I'm like, how in the world are they? And they're led by the Spirit. And then I've heard kids that I'm like, some of my friends who've grown up, and they talk about their moms, and they're like, all I can tell you is like the grace that she has for us, and that they keep talking about how she was literally led by the Spirit, and the Lord showed her when to give grace and when to discipline and all these things. And so I'm like, I don't know how people do it. I have no idea how people do it without the Spirit,
Well,
because
it's definitely a calling.
it's a
I mean,
dependency.
being a mother is a calling. I mean, it's a calling. I mean, I definitely think that there are some women that are called to be mothers of nations that may never even have children of their own. You know, everybody laughs about it and says that I have 500 people that I'm mothering to, you know, where at my work. And I just don't think about it that way. I just try to be loving. One thing that when you were saying about people feeling like they need to clean up, I think a lot of that is because people went into churches that have invited them, but they have no place there once they get there. I've had people tell me they haven't, nobody would sit by them. They didn't look like them, so they left, you know, stuff like that. The biggest thing would be, I just think transparency needs to be there. Transparency needs to be there. I remember I was teaching a high school Sunday school class, and I was just like, Lord, what do you want me to tell these high schoolers? I mean, I was a wreck. And he took me back to one of my college days, and I was literally hammered drunk, and I was in crystals on the strip in Knoxville, which is nasty. And I remember one of my friends were trying to we were laughing so hard in there, and the door was open, and we fell on the floor. We were dressed. We fell on the floor, and people were walking by, laughing at us. And the Lord said, how many people do you think walked by there and pointed at you and said, I want what she has? He said, if you're willing to humiliate yourself for the love of alcohol, why could you not humiliate me for the gospel of Christ?
Oh
And
my
it broke
gosh.
me. I was like, you're right. I mean, Lord, I'm sure there's many stories where I'm humiliated. Why would I be afraid that somebody would say something about me when I'm chasing after the Lord, when I'm speaking things at the Lord, you know? And so we need to walk in such a way that when we get, leave a conversation with people, they need to, when they walk away, they need to say, I know that person's been with the Lord. I want what they have.
And the only
We
way you can
don't,
do that is by hiding yourself, literally,
submission. I
and
mean,
being in that,
being submissive. People don't like that word, but we have to be submissive. We have to honor the Holy Spirit. We have to make time for Him. We have to do all those things. You know, He does love us right where we're at. That's the biggest thing you need to know. If you're somewhere and you're out there and you are messed up from the chest up, you know, whatever, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. There is someone that knows what your tomorrow holds. And His name is Jesus. Most definitely. He is, He goes before us, behind us, and all around us. So He's not surprised. I really feel like this generation needs to know He's not surprised with what you're dealing with. But He holds the key. He holds the key. The key to the door that's going to unlock me. And you said there was one day and it was just like, whoosh, and we were just like mind blown. And I really feel like that's when our spirit man wakes up. And we're like, oh my gosh, I feel that. That's there. They are right. The same spirit lives within me. He didn't give us the counterfeit spirit. He didn't give, there's, you know, he didn't. Yeah. But I would definitely, I know we're fixing to end, but I want to encourage a young generation something. I'm going to encourage and challenge you not to fall for the counterfeit love that this world is offering you. It comes in all forms. It comes in praise. It comes in looks. It comes in your name. It comes in all forms. Do not accept a counterfeit love. You cannot
That's
love
so good.
someone unless you've received the love of the Father. You
We
can't. You can't even love
get it
yourself. I didn't
backwards
love
so
myself.
often.
I didn't love myself for years.
Isn't
I'd
that
look at
funny?
myself and be like, yuck, I could pick out everything. So
Yeah, we think we can
he
love
has,
other people.
yeah, how can you?
We get
How
it
can you love
backwards.
somebody if you don't love yourself? You can't even love a man that you're going to marry if you don't love yourself.
And it's
Yeah,
not
you're
saying
just
love
carrying
yourself
baggage.
more. What's the verse? It says, oh, the Bible, the verse literally says, love others
Love
as
others
you
as
love
you love
yourself.
yourself. So if you don't love
As you love
yourself,
yourself,
how
you're
are you
supposed to love
loving
others.
others?
That's
Yeah, so it's
crazy.
like a thing. You can't love yourself until you've received the love of the Father because he has an agape love that is just amazing. So you receive that love, you have to love yourself. And then you can love someone else. You truly cannot. And like you said, grace and mercy. There's sometimes I'll be like,
Thank
Jesus, you
you.
need to handle this person. And he'll be like, I didn't handle you. So, it's just, I mean, it's just an honest thing. We need to walk in grace and we need to walk in transparency. We need to be real with people. We need to be real. Those bad things, they need to know about them. We don't need to act like we just walked up on the set in 2016 and arrived and we were just like, oh, or something. There were trials we had to go through. There's decisions we made.
And that's part of walking with the Spirit too, is because he'll prompt you when to. I feel like I'm
Yes.
a chronic oversharer,
Yeah.
but the whole Spirit will prompt you when to share those things and when to be transparent. I know there's a difference between being vulnerable and transparent, but I think there's so much power in testimonies, and that's what I exactly what I want this to be. So thank you so much for being willing to share some of yours, because
Yes,
that
ma'am.
there's power there's so much power in our words and in our testimonies. And so I think people will have breakthrough just by listening to that and being able to their spirit to identify, and then someone to say, I've now walked out of this, and been
Yeah.
walking on this for this long. And you've had moments where I mean, we're flesh. And so until
Yes.
we're in heaven with Christ, there's going
We're
to be
still
those
gonna be
battles and
fighting
those
it.
pulls.
We're gonna be fighting it
We'll
every
always be fighting
day.
it.
Yes,
So it's a real thing.
I've got a scripture here. I had to put my glasses on, but it kind of sums up the whole thing you and I've been saying. And it's a very known scripture. It's Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15. It says, he said to them, so that means every generation, them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. That says to them. That means every generation, male, female. This is
That was
what
in, you said that was in
Mark
Mark.
16, starting verse 15, ending in verse 18. This is,
So Jesus,
we're
that was
called to do
Jesus
this.
speaking to, that was
Yes.
Jesus actually speaking. And who
Yeah,
was he
all the
talking to?
words
Was
are
he
in
talking to
red.
the,
Let me see.
Who's he talking to? Was it the disciples?
Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So that was in Mark 16, 14. So he told this to the
And then the us following.
disciples. Yeah. So these are people that actually walked with him, saw him, and that's what I
They
they still
still
had like they didn't know what
have
they
their
were
doubts.
doing. Yeah, so we are walking with him
That's so good.
daily in the Holy Spirit. He's
That's
not
and that's
tangible for us.
dependency,
Yes.
right? Not
Yeah.
now, at least, but that is why I've had to literally start incorporating that into my prayer time, because I for a season, I know for sure I was not waking up like with the understanding that I had to be dependent, that I was dependent upon God. Now I know that every breath that I have has been given to me by Him, but there's a difference when you are knowingly walking in dependency on Him. And so I had to start praying that. I was like, God, teach me how to be dependent upon you again, because I was kind of like, life is good, like the Lord's really blessed me, and I'm like, whatever. And then I don't know what switched, but it's like He just it, I almost got scared. And again, we're not supposed to live in fear. But I almost got scared because I was like, oh my gosh, what am I? I was like, what am I doing? So I had to ask the Lord. I was like, teach me how to walk in dependency with you, because there's going to come a time when that is all I will have. All I will have is my dependency on Christ and trusting in Him. When everything else fails, like, who knows what the future holds, and who knows what's going to happen in this crazy
We
messed up world.
don't
So,
know.
if we're not learning that now, waking up and just to, for today, just for me, us recording this podcast, and for whatever we have after this, to be dependent upon the Lord and say, God, I have to hear Holy Spirit today. I have to hear your voice to interact with my family and to do my job well, and to da da da, and like training ourselves now in those little things is what is going to allow us to
Well,
be
one good
strong
way
when
is
those big trials come. Yes, go ahead.
if you're not hearing from the, if you can look over your journals and your life of where you've heard from the Lord, or He's given you words, and you see that there's an end date to that, it's not because He quit speaking to you. You need to realize
That's so
where
true.
what has happened that has put you in a place to where you hear other things over Him. And that'll draw you right back into His lap. I mean,
But people point the I point fingers. I'm like, why aren't you talking? Why aren't you speaking?
I do that too, and I do it to myself. I'm like, why don't you have anything encouraging to tell them? Or if something really amazing happens and you're a part of it, my big thing is like, for the next time, I'm like, Lord, if I have any pride, if I start thinking any of that was because of me, I want you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Because that's something the enemy would like for us to think, that we can do it all on our own. But I'm going to tell you try to do it all on
It's
your own
not in
one
our
time,
strength.
and you'll know. You'll
Go
know.
for it. Might be good to try it out one time, just so you know.
Most definitely.
That's so good. Well, I don't even know how long we've gone. An hour and 23 minutes. No
Wow.
way.
Hopefully, you cut a lot of that out, like when I quoted the pastor, and
I'll
you
chop
probably
it up.
won't.
It was still so good though. Maybe that could be your
Whatever.
quote. If it wasn't hers, maybe it could be yours.
If I messed it up, so it
No.
could be mine. There actually is another person that's reached out to us about me and Carl being on theirs about what we walked
Really?
through. So that would be really good
Wow.
too. So,
I would love that, and to hear, it would be cool to hear from both of you guys too, together. That would be really cool. I didn't know that part of your story, Bill's story.
Pastor
And
Gary didn't
that
either until we were in the pod one day. The Lord has been using that for me to show men how it affects women, and to show women that you can overcome this. That's not your identity. The identity will set in that you're not good enough. You're not enough. You know, there's something you're lacking, and that's not anything to even do with it at all. Like, I walked through all those questions,
And
insecurity,
now look.
everything.
And
I
look what
mean,
you're able to do with it now. That's insane.
it's crazy.
That's so
It's crazy.
beautiful. I'm learning that even with stuff in my own family right now, that our testimonies are not just for us. And you
No.
are, it's so wasted if you're not sharing it and using it when Holy Spirit prompts you to share it, because there's so much power behind it. I'm literally watching that in my family right now, the power behind
Oh yeah,
testifying of the
and
hard times and
like
God's goodness,
when he used to
not
tell
just
me
for
to
you.
go pray with somebody or say something to somebody, I'd be like, okay, well, tell me what it is. Well, now I know that all he's waiting on is me to take that step, one step with my
And
foot.
say yes.
When I get there, it's not even me speaking. It's his word. I'm just a like a megaphone vessel that it's coming out of, and people need to know that all vessels are different. Most of them are cracked. Because if a vessel's not cracked, how can the water pour out of it? I do think that
Wait, say
he
that
lets
again.
us be cracked. He lets us be cracked sometimes and broken, and then he puts his water on us and he reshapes us and molds us. And I think that's it's a daily thing. I tell people that I have to ask forgiveness, like it could be hourly, minutely, just because your mouth and your mind, your thoughts, Some people tell me, I know that I'm not walking with the Lord because I still think bad thoughts. That's not true. Your
Oh,
thought,
yeah.
your mind goes so fast that you can't
Yeah.
catch, you can't. So you just
It's
have to
what you
literally
do
pray.
with your thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just heard a sermon on that it's you can't always control what goes into your head. Sometimes you can, but a lot of the times you can't. And so it's what you do with it. I've had to
Yeah.
come up with strategies for when I have those crazy thoughts that jump into my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did that even come from? Or maybe
I've
it's
had them
something
in
that
church.
is in my heart.
I've had them
Oh
in
yeah.
church.
Oh,
I'm
that's a
like,
real one. Or during worship. Cra the
yeah.
crazy thoughts will come into your head and you're like, what do I do with it? So I've had to ask Holy Spirit for ways, and he's given me ways to like literally
Oh,
kick
yeah.
things out of my head. And I've noticed that I've literally grown in strength and being able to block things, and like
The
in a
more
good
that you
way,
do.
the more
Yeah,
that you do it. And so,
I say, Lord, captivate that thought. Or
yeah.
sometimes when I say, Lord, I'm taking that thought to the feet of Jesus. Like I have to,
Believe it.
you
Yeah.
have to get rid of it
Yeah.
right then, because then it'll start building, building,
Yeah, and
building.
instead of freaking out, being like, oh my gosh, where did that? It's saying, hey, I know that was not from the Lord. And so I'm taking that, I'm sealing it, and I'm giving it, take it to the foot of the cross and tell God, be like, hey, I just had this awful thought.
Yeah,
Or
I'm
this,
sitting in church
whatever.
and I thought this horrible thing. I mean,
Yeah,
why?
yeah,
But you got to understand
yeah.
that we're surrounded by, the Bible clearly states, we are, like, if we could see the war going on in the spirit right now, it says we don't wrestle with flesh, we
Yeah,
wrestle
yeah.
with principalities. So,
Yeah.
even no matter where you are, unless you're in a totally holy, righteous environment,
Yeah,
there's going
yeah.
to be
Yeah.
demonic things happening. There's going to be principalities trying to fight you to keep you
Yeah,
from
yeah.
worshiping, to keep you from tapping into what the Lord has for you that
Yeah.
day.
So
So,
it's training yourself
yeah,
on how to
so
do
don't be
it, on beating
alarmed when
yourself
that
down.
happens. I
It's so
thought I was
good.
like horrible the first time it happened. I was like, yeah. And then you're like sitting in church thinking, can everybody read me? Are they coming to read my
Right,
mail
right.
after I
Yes.
just
Oh
got
my gosh. Or
out?
someone wants to come pray over you and you're like,
You know,
don't touch me.
I need to talk to
They'll be able to
Jesus before
sniff
you
it.
touch me.
Yeah, no, literally. It feels like
Yeah.
that sometimes.
But I think that's
That's
a lot of
good.
lies that people believe.
Yeah.
We're flesh.
100%.
If we could do it on our own, he would have never had to come to the cross. And people need to know that if it was only for one person, he knew your whole life before,
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
said, I will still go.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. It's crazy because we sometimes it's we will flip everything. So when we feel like we're not worthy, or we have these crazy thoughts, or we can beat ourselves up for it. A lot of the times I think about, I'm like, okay, sometimes there are things that are rooted in my heart that I have to like do the digging and ask the Holy Spirit to like search me, search me from my head to my toes and show me what's in me that I need to repent of. But other times it is from the enemy, and he can throw stuff at you. He can't read your thoughts, but he can totally throw stuff at you.
Well, he
And
knows
so,
what he had you bound with before.
exactly, there's that too. There's that too. And he's gonna use that. Why would he not use
Yeah.
that? And so it's crazy because sometimes people will like self-destruct with that kind of stuff. And really, I'm like, you are a threat to the enemy if he's coming at you like that. And it keeps on bringing up old stuff that you've already made right with God, especially. And if he's going to keep throwing stuff at you, I'm like, best believe it's because you're a threat and you have a target on your back. Because people who are just
Yes.
sitting, people who are no threat to the enemy, a lot of the
Yeah.
times those people, it's like, why are they living with so much ease?
Yeah,
And sometimes they're
absolutely.
not doing anything for the kingdom. So there's no spiritual warfare around them
Well,
or
that's
that close
exactly
to them
right.
because,
It's really, I mean, we should all live in a way, and this is going to sound kind of crazy and probably make people in fear, but we should live in a way that demons should know who we are. They should
Oh,
know our
absolutely.
name. When we walk in a room, they should say, "Oh no, here comes Christy." You know, they should do that. We should live in such a way that happens.
And
And
that's
we
when
should
you're
live in
walking in
such a,
authority. You can do
that's
that when
it.
you're walking in
Being
authority,
led by the
only if you
Spirit.
know your identity.
Yeah,
It all
these
goes
things go
together.
hand in hand. You can't walk in
They
authority
do.
till you know who
They
you
do.
are in Christ, and until you believe what the Word says about you, what you can and can't do. You should be the kind of person, and I don't say the word Christian because I feel like we have a relationship with Christ. We have really killed that word.
Oh,
You
I
know.
know.
Yeah.
Watered it
If
down.
we should be in such a relationship with Christ that the enemy would love nothing more than for us to be gone. He would love to see
Yeah.
us go because then he don't have to deal with us anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Should be our goal.
Yeah, we should. We should. And you know what?
Should be
Sometimes
the
we want to
goal.
lay that thing down, but I'm truly know that the Lord spoke to me and told me he's calling Deborahs and Elijahs. He's waking
Yeah,
people
come
up.
on.
There's been
Yeah.
people sitting dormant in a cave waiting for this time. It is
Yeah,
time.
yeah.
It's the time.
Come
And he's
on.
going to call people. We're going to hear voices of people that we don't even know their names. But that's why we shouldn't judge people. I
Yeah.
mean, he talked from a donkey and a burning bush. I mean, come on now.
From a prostitute, from
Yes,
all kinds
yes.
of.
And here we are. And here we are thinking
Yeah.
that people have to look and live a certain way.
It's
It's not
not, but then
true.
that's make it's making it about us. The reason he did that is because it brought him more glory using
Right.
those things and those animals and those people, because we were like, oh my gosh, that shouldn't be happening, because in our logical mind it shouldn't be,
Only thing that
and
matters
so
is our heart.
gives him
That's
glory.
it. It's our
Yeah.
heart.
And then that makes anybody usable. It really
Yeah, I
does.
mean, we just
Or
we
not.
were if it was going to be like that, we would all look the same way, and we would all be that we'd be uniformity. But there
Yeah.
cannot be unity. Unity,
So good.
uniformity is not unity. Uniformity is rules,
Yeah.
which is religion.
Yeah.
Unity is where people from all
Yeah.
nations, tribes, and tongues, genders, ages get together and become unified on one thing, and that's the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's so good. I cannot remember exactly the quote, but it's that same podcast I referenced earlier, and he said, I kept saying used. He said that God does not use people. This is the first time I've heard this. I'm gonna butcher it. He said God does not use people, but he I don't know if he said equips, or because he said the devil uses people, but he said God works in them to stir up and equip what he's already placed in them to do. So I had never heard, gosh, I need to go
It's
back and
so
listen to it
good
again.
because that's the same thing. Everything that you need.
Is already there. Yeah. This is so good. I'm gonna go back and listen to all this again and take notes on it.
Well, that's
The
good thing.
scriptures and
We'll
everything.
just go ahead and put like a statement. Any quotes we butchered from pastors or anybody,
Yes.
we apologize now.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.